Welcome to Inside Games, the only gaming news show brave enough to play Dragon's Dogma 2 all day and night, and then turn around and cover everything going wrong with it.
That's Games Media, baby. I'm excited. I've been over 10 years I've been waiting for Dragon's Dogma 2. The wait is over. But for a lot of folks, absence did not make the heart grow fonder.
Ooh.
Also, heart, dragon, there's a thing there. Anyway.
Follow-up to the cult favorite 2012, Hack and Slash got a very respectable 87 review score on Metacritic.
If the critics love it, that means the people have to love it too, right? Oh, yeah, reviewers had high praise for the game's unique combat and difficulty level, forcing players to make mistakes and learn from them in a very Souls-like manner.
That is true. Eurogamer called it, quote, a huge improvement over the original and a captivating journey from beginning to end.
Game Informer said it, quote, captures the spirit of the original without sanding down the edges of what made it excellent.
And players flocked to the game. By Thursday evening, Dragon's Dogma 2 hit 173,000 players on Steam, which is Capcom's highest concurrent user peak record for a single-player game. As of recording Friday morning, the peak player count pushed past that to 200,000 on Steam alone. That's crazy.
That's really good for 24 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
So the critics love it. The people are buying it and playing it. Sounds like it's crisp high fives at Capcom HQ all around, huh? No, this is the internet, and we get mad about things here.
Folks out there have found plenty to be upset about with this game, so let's get to it. First off, the game runs poorly.
I'm going to put air quotes in poorly there because you get something in exchange for how it runs, but we'll get there. We'll get there. IGN's Michael Thompson said the game was affected across all platforms by CPU and memory demands, even on high-end machines.
He also noted that the lower-end Xbox Series S had the worst time of it, obviously, with textures failing to load and others dropping to very low quality after about 10 minutes exploring the open world.
Even high-end PC rigs would drop into the 30 FPS range while players are in the denser populated towns.
As a result, players resorted to killing NPCs in villages to boost frame rates.
Yep, get them all in a pile and get rid of them. I mean, you can revive them if you need to, so it's an interesting workaround.
Modern problems require modern solutions.
Capcom acknowledged those issues in a statement, saying they were aware of the frame rate issues on PC and are looking to improve performance in the future.
In a statement reported by Eurogamer and others, Capcom said that, quote, in Dragon's Dogma 2, a large amount of CPU usage is allocated to each character and calculating the impact of their physical presence in various areas.
They added, in certain situations where numerous characters appear simultaneously, the CPU usage can be very high and may affect the frame rate.
Okay, Lawrence. I played 16 hours of this game from start to finish. I was doing a 24-hour on Twitch. It was awesome. I did have frame drops in cities, but I also have an insane rig for precisely this reason. So people would come into my stream and they'd be like, how's the performance? Is it really bad? Everyone says it's bad. And it wasn't. It was never bad. It would drop into the 40s range or whatever for me, 40 frames a second. So I certainly did have the performance drops, and I could see how they would be exaggerated if you had a Series S or something. But for me, generally speaking, I was very, very lucky. I didn't have any crashes. I had very few performance issues, but I was playing on a beefy rig.
Me too. And I agree. The frame rate does drop. The problem is, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. Just because the frame rate drops doesn't mean something bad is happening. You know, that's kind of the way we're used to talking about games is if the frame rate high, it's good and optimized. If the frame rate low, it's bad and unoptimized. But unlike other games that are unoptimized, Starfield, where the frame rate drops and you get nothing in return, Dragon's Dogma 2 looks incredible. It looks incredible. I don't want to compare it to Cyberpunk because that comes with a lot of baggage, but it's landing at a spec above where the hardware is right now, and that's not for nothing. There's no load screens in the game. And that's like really, really cool for a game like Dragon's Dogma, where you're in the open world and then you walk like without frame drops, sure, but no loading screens, right into a city, right into someone's house. Just one complete unbroken string. And that's actually really cool. It does create a cool state of flow. Again, compared to something like Starfield, it has loading screens everywhere and still runs like shit. In this game, a lot of spontaneous stuff can actually happen. I remember being in town, frame drop, sure, but then a freaking ogre burst in and all the civilians started running around like crazy. I killed it. It died in the main square. Civilians would walk up and be like, what the fuck is it? And then we just had to wait for the body to decompose. So sure, the frame rate goes down, but the game also does more to justify that processing load, unlike other games that don't. So yeah, I get how you can take it out of context and be like, frame drop, unoptimized, bad game. But it's trying to do something, and that ambition comes at a cost because you don't get to get away with things for free. So I think a couple of patches, hardware upgrade or two. It's honestly kind of like the original Dragon's Dogma in that regard. That game shot really high.
This is all very, very true, Lawrence. And we know that we've heard you and your concerns, but at the same time, we got very, very lucky, Lawrence and I. And we kind of understand. You know, if you're playing on a Series X, it may not be the greatest. Bentley Performance isn't the only smudge on Dragon Dogma's 2 sheen right now. People have also taken incredible affront to the game's DLC offerings.
Yeah, Bruce, this is where we're at. DLC in a full-priced game. It's hardly the first time. You know, we've been here before, but that doesn't make it go down any easier.
Players were not pleased to learn that the game will have paid DLC items like a $15 New Journey Pack, a $2 character editor, and $3 camping gear? To name just a few. This is absolutely a valid complaint.
Feels eye-rolly, yeah. You can buy Rift Crystals, in-game currency, that's used to hire other pawns that are above your level. So you can hire over-leveled pawns for real money. That's pay-to-win, right?
That is absolutely pay-to-win. It's a single-player game. It also appears that Capcom kept the microtransactions under wraps from reviewers and waited until release day to roll them out. Now, here is the actual problem, in my opinion.
Sort of, except it's not true, but whatever. Windows Central's Brendan Lowry wrote that much of the site's team had early access to the game for quite some time, but he said that the team wasn't made aware of the microtransactions beforehand. That's weird, unless we got different contacts or different communications, because I got a review code from Capcom on March 12th that included a highlighted link to a DLC guide. Here is that guide. So I knew on March 12th, and I was like, people might get mad at that. In my naivete, I thought that, it'll just be like the other Capcom games that do literally exactly the same thing. But no, now it's a problem. And anyway, the guide lists all the DLC purchases, their prices in US dollars, and the fact that you can buy most of that DLC only one time. They do actually limit it. So you can't just pour money into the game forever. I don't know if that earns them anything, but... Rift Crystals, the ones where you can summon higher level pawns, and Wake Stones that revive you have higher limits. There are like 3 or 4 purchases, maybe 5. But the thing is, all of those items are earnable in-game, which is usually the way they do it. Also, like I said before, Capcom did the exact same thing with Resident Evil 4 Remake. They sold weapon upgrade tickets and other in-game upgrades for real money. People found a way to look past that at the time.
So here's an interesting thing, Lawrence. Resident Evil 4 Remake was $60. This game is $70. Now, I'll talk about this at the end of the episode, but I do truly think that that $10 increase, that's a big deal for everybody. I think everybody's starting to feel the push, the squeeze, and they don't like it.
Yeah, this is clearly an emotional reaction, and that's all I'll say.
So quoting you, Damianos97 from Reddit 1 year ago, quote, "This is for Resident Evil. It's a single-player game. Who the fuck cares about pay-to-win? Nobody's forcing you to buy it. Everything is easy as fuck to unlock normally without buying anything. Lol."
Indeed. Indeed. Minds change, I guess.
Yeah, they do.
I got my own theory, but for some... And I'll get into it later, but for some reason, that's not the prevailing reaction this time around.
Yeah. Windows Central's Brendan Lowry wrote that while his team is, quote, in love with the game's incredible combat systems and rich fantasy world, "I'd be lying if I said these microtransactions haven't dampened some of our writers' enthusiasm for the game, especially since a handful of them are particularly egregious."
I wonder if they wrote the same thing about Resident Evil 4. My snootiness aside, microtransactions have always been controversial, especially with Capcom. They've gotten on people's bad sides with their fighting games and Osher's Wrath 1 million years ago, but... here we are again. It's a full-priced game. Like you said, Bruce, $70, Dragon's Dogma 2. It doesn't feel good that they're even putting the tip jar out.
You have to admit, too, there's some design aspects about Dragon's Dogma 2 that make it awfully easy to dogpile on DLC at this point.
Yes, very easy to craft Reddit rage bait. I've been seeing it. And I have to admit, the construction is pretty expert, even if it is misleading. And we're about to enter the shill zone, in case you thought we weren't already there, but... Dragon's Dogma is older in its sensibilities. I think you can look at it and even see that. It's a classically styled Western European RPG adventure. Dragons, dogmas, knights, castles, princesses, magic staves, these and thous, thines and these, aeons and evertides. In a way, it's almost a soft parody of that sort of thing, but you got to get pretty deep in the weeds to see that. Anyway, because it's a classically styled RPG, you can't fast travel wherever you want. That's a Starfield thing. You can use a consumable. It's a fairy stone, but you can get them in-game anyway. The game uses ox carts like a public bus to get around.
Yeah, regardless, headlines circulated back in January of Dragon's Dogma's game director, Hideaki Itsuno, walking through the game's resistance to fast travel.
He said, travel is boring? That's not true. It's only an issue because your game is boring. All you have to do is make travel fun, is what he said to IGN.
It's understandable if tinfoil hat gamers see no fast travel and fast travel DLC right next to each other and assume the worst. It does look bad.
It looks really bad, yeah. And the nice little graphic that you can upvote. Not to mention there's only one save slide. And this is, I actually ran directly into this when I was trying to start.
So did
game.
I.
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. Only one save slot. And there's no menu option to reset the game in the game. That's an annoyance, considering the game has multiple classes to play. And wouldn't you know it, you can also pay money to change the appearance of your player character rather than just start a new save slot. Okay. Another aside here to explain this, because it sucks. There should be a menu to reset the game.
Absolutely. There totally should, yes.
But it doesn't level the same as Dragon's Dogma 1. And this is a concern if somebody's played a lot of Dogma 1 or just in general. So in Dogma 1, when you leveled up, you got stat increases based on what job you were at the time. So if you wanted to change jobs a million levels down the road, you were screwed because your stats were entirely arranged around the class you were playing. That's not how Dogma 2 works. Dogma 2 works when you switch classes, all your stats shift. So basically you can do every class and every job out of one save slot and not lock yourself out of anything. I think. I'm only 27 hours into the game, but I did verify the stat thing. So I think that they did the gameplay level reworks to make it more viable to play off of one save slot. You can also, like we said before, earn the item to change your appearance in-game. So theoretically, everything can revolve around the one save slot, not that it should, and not that you should be removed from having that option. Now, I did manually delete my files and was able to start a new file that way. It got messy, Bruce, because I wanted to carry my characters from the character creator into a new save on Dragon's Dogma, and I had to like find the specific files that had the right data, turn off Cloud Sync, and launch one, and then close it out. It eventually worked. Here's a fun aside. I did see people on 4chan trying to circulate the story that you would brick your Steam account by doing that.
What?
That Denuvo would lock you out of your Steam account. And then I actually saw a post from a fucking blogger citing a 4chan screenshot saying that it happened to them.
Wow.
It seems like it's full in AstroTurf territory. People are trying to spin up fake stories about Dragon's Dogma 2. Now that's where we're at. It didn't happen to me. I hope it doesn't happen to anyone, but I couldn't find a verified instance of that happening.
So I was streaming the game basically all day, even before it actually was fully released. And it was interesting because the narrative was shaping as I was streaming. So people would come in to me and be like, isn't the performance trash? And I was like, no, I've had no issues. And everyone's like, did you get hit with microtransactions? I was like, no, I haven't even seen one. It was so interesting. It was such an interesting time. And I'm not saying that your complaints are invalid. It's just one of those things that I didn't notice at all. It's a bunch of half-truths curated to make the game look as bad as possible. It's kind of just rage bait. It's absolutely working on people who have not touched this game.
Yeah. Or they just really enjoy dunking on something, but then want to play the game after. So it's weird. The theatrics and the narrative building engine exists entirely distinct from the game itself. It's just whatever you can sell to people on Reddit then becomes the narrative. And then the media has to follow. Otherwise, people accuse us of not following the narrative and telling people what they want to hear. But that's my personal complaint. Whatever. We'll be brave. And just try to stay neutral and game enjoying. Seems like the bait is working though, which, Bruce, I have to be honest, is actually good for us because it drives people to watch Twitch streams and it drives people to watch YouTube videos. Hopefully it doesn't ding the game's performance. That's what would really bother me. But at the time of writing, people are expressing themselves as they do. Dragon's Dogma 2 has a 39% positive review rate on Steam, which classifies it as mostly negative.
Yep. Steam user Superius wrote, quote, how do you even have the nerve to put any kind of microtransactions in an already fully priced single player game? It is so wild to me.
I've been doing it for years, man. Only now it's a problem. Anyway, Capcom tried to address some of the player concerns in a Steam post saying they're working to fix bugs and crashes. Always nice. They're also looking at adding a feature that allow players to restart the game. Very good.
Capcom also included a list of paid DLC items that they said could be earned through gameplay, which seemed like an attempt to address all the microtransaction criticism.
Mm-hmm. And the people who are mad about it aren't interested in actually learning.
No, yeah. Not at all. No, no.
They wrote, "To all those looking forward to this game, we sincerely apologize for any inconvenience."
So as of right now, Dragon's Dogma has its positives and negatives. A good game with some performance issues and some questionable monetization choices. That, to me, sounds like any video game in 2024. Now, again, I do think that it is because it's $70, and it is not the, you know, often quoted price of $60 that we love to see. Game companies the world round have raised their prices. So,
I mean, it's not $70 for no reason. There's a lot of video game there, and you can get a lot of hours of entertainment out of it if it's the kind of game that's for you. Dragon's Dogma is a little selective, I think, in its audience. Disclosure. Disclosure, and I hid this to the end, so you can maximum accuse me of shilling. I'm actually going to get sponsored to play this game, so there's a financial tie there. I have a financial reason to be nice to them, I guess. But they're not sponsoring this episode, so theoretically, this should be fair. I mean, I also really like Dragon's Dogma.
Well, Lawrence, let me also give you my disclosure. I was sponsored to play the game for 2 hours, and I ended up playing it for 17. So I arranged a 24-hour stream around Dragon's Dogma 2, and it wasn't because of the sponsorship that I got. I happened to get lucky and also get the sponsorship in addition. So it's kind of one of those things where I was excited about this video game, sat down to play it for the 24-hour stream, it was about 17 hours, and then I did a little 2-hour sponsored section in the middle of it. And I do want people to know that because, again, I was going to play this game and play the shit out of it if I could before I ever was sponsored. And like I talked about before, watching the narrative get shaped around it as I was having fun was very interesting. This felt to me a little bit like Cyberpunk when you and I were playing Cyberpunk, because we both loved Cyberpunk when it first came out. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is so great. We were both playing on computer and we were both having no issues. And I was loving the story. And like, obviously we had some bugs here and there, which of course I had during playing Dragon's Dogma 2. But I was having a blast. And then people were coming in being like, oh, you should be upset about the microtransactions. And I was like, every video game has everyone. I was like, fully priced games, not fully priced games, free to plays, everything has microtransactions. Yeah, I mean, all right, yeah, I'll be mad about it. And then the performance, I just didn't have any issues at all. So to me there, again, this is not me being like, well, it worked for me, because I paid for a rig to make sure that I didn't have performance issues. So if they shot a little higher and they sort of, put the Series X and PlayStation 5 users a little further back, it sucks, but also those are consoles. So I said this before with Cyberpunk and people got mad. They're consoles. Can I expect them to be as good as a computer? No.
Yeah, they're four-year-old consoles. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I really want to... I hear you and I understand. And I think this always comes back down to the same issue. It's that the game is $70. I promise you, adding this 10... This is like me going to Chipotle and finding out they raised their prices 50 cents. Like... I've been paying it, going to Chipotle all the time, and I constantly eat Chipotle, and then I go in and it's like, wait a minute, my meal is $15 rather than $14.50, and I'm sitting there like stewing over it, right? I'm like, why did they do like ah? But in reality, they got me a long time ago, and it's kind of one of those things where I've just been telling people, look, if it's the microtransactions and the $70 price make you upset about Dragon's Dogma 2, don't buy the game. Like, stay away from it. Stay away from the video game, because you cannot be mad about this and then go buy it on discount and be like, well, this game is great. Like, no, you have to never buy the game and make sure that Capcom screwed up. And that's the only way we're ever going to get game prices back down. It's not ever going to happen. I'm sorry. We're in the $70 territory now, but I'm pretty sure that's the extra $10 that puts the squeeze on people. And now we feel like every single little thing like a microtransaction is getting to us. And I understand completely.
That's super understandable. I just wish people would be a little more honest about their intentions, because it comes off so spiteful and inconsistent. It's the inconsistency is what makes it hard for me to really empathize. Also, are people really going to be willing to sink a game like Dragon's... Like, are people really going to sit there and say, we want no more games like Dragon's Dogma 2 because there's a $1 DLC? Real? Dragon's Dogma 2 is supposed to be the good one. And having played it for 30 hours now, it is. It's a big, thick game. It's mechanically replete. A lot of quests, fun exploring, great music, incredible visuals. Technically aggressive. it's no one else is making games like that. Well, maybe Poland, but anyway, it should be everything that we've had. It's not a games of service multiplayer shooter. So I don't know. It's bugging me that there's no consistency in what the gamers are getting mad about. Aside from just games cost a lot and anyone asking for any money is inviting trouble on themselves. What bugs me too is the lack of consistency with even with other Capcom games. People looked past this easily with Resident Evil 4 Remake because it was already beloved. But Dragon's Dogma 2, people didn't really play Dragon's Dogma 1. So it's an easy bully target, and that's why people are dogpiling on it. It doesn't already have positive sentiment buildup, so it doesn't have the shields. What really bugs me on top of that is to see media following that narrative of like, oh, we have to report on this and treat it like it's valid. I get that people are mad, but just say that's expensive. Okay, great. Also, you don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy it. And I guess what I really understand is headlines that make it look like the game is designed around pushing you towards that purchase. But those are purchases of in-game earnable items, and also they make the game easier. So get good. It's not for you anyway. If you're a mega gamer, just do it all on your own. So it's just an easy excuse to dunk on an easy target. And that's what really bugs me, especially when the easy target has a lot to offer. The second that Cyberpunk became a popular bully target, oh boy, it was like weapons free. And now that it's not so much, now people can find it within their souls to appreciate the finer points of it. So me whining about it isn't going to change any of these dynamics, though. I guess what I can do is just implore the viewer to know that these dynamics are happening and maybe don't trust the Reddit threads as much. Don't trust the emergent narratives that really just tickle your desire to get back at those mega companies. Because Capcom is not the right target here. They're trying to do everything good. They're trying to make the good games. Go after EA, man. They're always fun to pick on.
But truthfully, Lawrence, you are correct. Dragon's Dogma 2 is not the right target. Whereas Blizzard or EA are totally fine. You know, like those are much larger companies that are clearly trying to take advantage of you. And I feel like Capcom isn't trying to take as much advantage of you. I know it sounds ridiculous. I'm not siding with the company. But it truly is like this. This is a giant single player game that people constantly laud. They're like, oh, this is all we need are single player games with this amazing narrative and like, you know, amazing graphics and replay value and blah, blah, blah. That's what this game is. And it really is super fun. And I cannot stress how much time and fun I had in this game. Like I just had a blast. I had a blast playing it. And everyone kept telling me, stop having fun. They literally were coming in and being like, it's broken, don't have fun. And I was like, I played 16 hours. I've had a great time. Like, I was like, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. Don't buy the video game. So that was always, I always just came back to the same point. Don't buy the video game. Don't support it. And then when we get all live service multiplayer shooters, then at that point you're gonna be like, well, it's because we told Dragon's Dogma 2 that it sucked. So now we have Suicide Squads.
But Suicide Squads is... Or just wait. You know, just wait.
Oh, yeah.
New consoles will come out. Gamers. PCs will upgrade if performance bothers you that much. Time was, Bruce. This is maybe a bit of an old PC sensibility, but games used to land a little bit above where the tech was at the time. So there was an aspirational aspect to playing some games that ran like shit because you could see the intention. You could, like, you know, the Crysis thing. Crysis ran like ass for like 2 years because video cards didn't exist yet to run it properly. But a few years later, we could finally play a really special game. Dragon's Dogma 2 is nowhere near that state. It can run pretty well now. It's just really in the city. And even that's pretty impressive to honestly have like hundreds of NPCs all walking around and interacting with stuff. It is, I hate to throw it back to this again, but it is what a lot of people thought Starfield would be closer to. And Starfield is just a complete dud, but people found a way to look past those performance issues pretty easily. So again, the lack of consistency just keeps sticking in my brain.
Well, Lawrence, I've now replayed this episode in my head, and I know that they are mad in the comments. Everyone's mad that we did not side with the gamers with the capital G, and I am very sorry. We really tried to listen to you and understand, because we do listen to you and we do understand. But at the same time, Lawrence and I really enjoyed the game.
We get it in a vacuum. We get the idea.
Yes.
The idea is worth being upset about, but it just doesn't really apply in reality here. And I don't know, more philosophically, I reject the notion that it's our job in games media to reinforce popular narratives, but that's what most people do. So yeah, you can be mad at us.
Hopefully these patrons, they support the Inside Games Patreon every month. Hopefully they're not mad at us. I really hope. Zach DeHack, Jose Diaz, Al Diaz, and Jared Watkins.
Oh, my patrons are so mad. They're going to invent a whole cycle where dragons and Arisens have to fight each other to create purpose in our reality, Bruce. That's my dogma. Jacob Neptune, the Alpine Stranger, Old Baby Leg, and Ian McGee, thanks for the support. No, we've been here before, but that doesn't make it go down any easy.
It never does. No, never does. Players were not pleased.
What's wrong with my brain?
What's up?
Oh, sorry, I'm just like leaving words half said. You're the one on no sleep, and I'm biffing it.
No, I'm right there with you. Players were not pleased to learn that the game will play. There you go. Players were not pleased to learn that the game will have played. Will have paid. Holy hell.